Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sarivara Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The mantras when they're doing it, Sahana, you're missing the going up on Jaya. Right?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna.
We're going.
Jaya Shri Krishna.
That was okay.
They're saying they all do that. Sahana, that's right. So they have to go up on that.
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Because otherwise, everything is perfect in that one, then they're chanting Krishna. Okay, so now we've had Mahabisha has come, is supposed to come down. He wants to come as the son of Patipa. And Ganga Devi, then she is coming to marry him. So, but now we see that she has come as Maharaj Patipa is performing sacrifice, the austerity, on the bank of the Ganga. And then she appears and sits on his lap and says, "Will you be my husband?" Right? So then it would seem odd. Why would she wants to marry Shantanu, why would she sit on the lap of Shantanu's father? Yeah, well, of course Shantanu hasn't appeared yet, but so then we see here is that then because she may approach Shantanu, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Right? And we see that she has something that she wants, right? Means because she has to throw the Vasus into the river, right? So he can't judge what she does. So if she says that, he may or may not follow. But if the father says that, he has to follow, right? So then she'll get these boons from the father that the father ensure happens. Does that make sense? Otherwise, she's smart enough to know whether to sit on the right or the left, right? Does that make sense? So he says, "Therefore, O best of women, I cannot enjoy thee as an object of desire. Be my daughter-in-law, I accept thee for that my son." This is what the damsel then said, "O virtuous one, let it be as thou sayest. Let me be united with thy son. From my respect for thee, I shall be a wife of the celebrated Bharata race. Ye of the Bharata race are the refuge of all the monarchs on earth. I am capable of numbering the virtues of this race, even within 100 years. The greatness and goodness of many celebrated monarchs of this race are limitless. O Lord of all, let it be understood now that when I become thy daughter-in-law, thy sons shall not be able to judge of the propriety of my acts. Living thus with thy son, I shall do good to him and increase his happiness, and he shall finally attain to heaven in consequence of the sons I shall bear him, and of his virtues and good conduct." Right? So here she's getting that boon that he can't judge what she does. Right? Because that'll be very important. Vaishampayana continued, "O king, having said so, the celestial damsel disappeared then and there, and the king too waited for the birth of his son in order to fulfill his promise." Right? So now having a son has another element. Right? Hasn't been born yet, so then that also then ensures that he'll make the endeavor, right? Because he's in the forest, he might stay in the forest, right? Decide that this is enough. So, you see here is that how important it is, the particular group, right? She wants to marry into a good family, right? Since she has to come to Earth, then it should be in one that's pious, properly behaved, cultured, all these different kinds of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
About this time, Pratipa, that light of the Kuru race, that bull among Kshatriyas, was engaged, along with his wife, in austerities from desire of offspring. And when they had grown old, a son was born unto them. This was no other than Mahabisha. And the child was called Shantanu, because he is born when his father had controlled his passions by ascetic penances. And the best of Kurus, Shantanu, knowing that that region of indestructible bliss can be acquired by one's deeds alone, became devoted to virtue. Right? In other words, one may be born in a virtuous family, right? A devotional family, a wealthy family or intellectual family. So because of the nature of the parents, the environment you grow up in, it's the best for becoming that, right? Does that make sense? But technically, it doesn't make you that, right? Probably gives the example that you have a child born in the family of a high court judge. So because that's the father's mentality, that's the environment that's there, because of that exposure, then this child would have the best opportunity for becoming one himself. Right? But it doesn't automatically make. So he's figured out here, even though he's born in the best of the Kurus, and the Kurus are the best of the Kshatriyas. In other words, he's been born of the best Kshatriya on earth. Right? But still, that doesn't make him specifically virtuous. It means he had to be something virtuous to be born there, but that's your past deeds. Remember? Just because you're born there, that's what you've done in the past. But if you want to get somewhere, then that's what you do now. Right? You're born in a devotee family. Great. Because you've done some devotional service, therefore you're born there. Does that make sense? But you're only going to go back to Godhead if you perform devotional service. You're not going to go back to Godhead because your parents did it. Does that make sense? So that's what Maharaj Shantanu's understood. It's because his father is virtuous, and because of that will attain to heaven. So he's only going to get that same result if he does the work himself. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore then he devoted himself. He had focus, right? Because unless you have a goal, you won't be focused. Does that make sense? Right? Like, let's say if I'm not sure if I'm hungry or if I'm tired, does anything ever happen? Do we ever eat or get a nap? No. But if we know I'm hungry, we make that endeavor. Or I'm tired, we make that endeavor. Yeah? So in the same way as if you're focused that, yes, I want to go back to Godhead, then it will happen. Or I want to learn this, do this. If that determination is there, it happens, right? No determination, nothing happens. So we have to look through what's important in our life and make that a focus. If you do that, you get somewhere. If you don't do that, you don't get anywhere. Does that make sense? So that's what training means, is showing you what are the options and how to make that decision, and having made that decision, what is the process, how you can obtain it. That's education. Right? You know who you are, what is obtainable, and how to obtain it. Right? But then knowing who you are and what are the options, that should give you the clarity that you focus. Right? Because without focus, you won't get anywhere. In anything. You won't even... Why is it that pots that could be washed in 15 minutes take 45 minutes to wash? Right? No focus. Do you understand? Why no focus? How no focus? Can anyone explain?
There's no interest.
There's no interest, right? Because only if there's interest, then it'll develop into need, right? Only if there's prajumna, then it will develop into aniruddha. So you'll perform the activity, vasudeva, right? So if the sambandha is there, then the prayojana can be seen and you'll act. Right? Otherwise you won't. So if it takes 45 minutes, because what's going on when it takes 45 minutes to wash the pot? What's going on in your own mind? Think about it.
Why do I
have to wash the pots? That'll be one if it's just simply existence, right? The satta. And what if it is kriya? Huh?
Why not somebody else?
Of course, that's another thing. That's of course the ultimate in why me? Why not someone else? Why I have to be the victim? Right?
Like that.
It would be so much nicer if he was suffering washing the pots, right? No, but what is, it means you could be thinking, why am I washing the pots, but what else could you be thinking that would distract you from washing the pots? What else could I be doing? I could be playing, I could be harassing someone else, I could, you know, so many important things I could be doing. Right? Does that make sense? So the focus is not on the pots. But now, it takes 45 minutes to wash the pots, it could be done in 15 minutes. So that half an hour, that's the difference between it. Did we actually get to play, or did someone else actually come along and wash the pots? Right, you're sitting there washing the pots, and then suddenly one of the other boys comes along and says, "Wait, stop! I'll wash the pots. You go and play." That ever happens? No. Okay.
Something happens, Maharaj.
Huh?
Something happens, Maharaj.
It does happen.
It does happen, yeah.
Really?
Sometimes other boys come and say that you are too slow.
Oh, yeah. Hey, beat it. You're not qualified to wash the pot. Okay. Yes. Prajumna. What is significance? These are the kind of things, if you're around, you'll pick it up. But it means you have Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. Right? And then you have Sambandabhideya Prayojana. Right? So Sankarshan Prajumna is Sambandha, Vasudeva is Aniruddha, and Aniruddha is Prayojana. Right? So that means Sankarshan is the field, or what are the elements of the field. Prajumna means the attraction to that field, the desire to interact in that field. Aniruddha is the goal that you want to get from that field. And Vasudeva is actually operating the field.
What is the relevant weight of responsibility for the teacher today?
What is the weight of responsibility of the teacher to instill interest?
And the child to be interested.
And the child to be interested. It means both. It means the student is supposed to be interested and the teacher is supposed to inspire interest. So, in other words, the teacher is always trying to find those ways that create the interest, and the student is always engaged in service willingly, because the service itself will generate interest, right? In other words, you have no interest to do activities because you don't do them, right? If I do anything, it will inspire the desire to do it again, right? I eat something nice, it inspires the desire to eat that nice thing again, right? That's how karma works. So if I do the work nicely, it inspires me to learn more how to do nicely. So students want to learn in class because they serve, right? And because they want to learn, then they inquire and want to know how it works, right? If I want to do something and I learn a body of knowledge, I want to know how it practically applies, right? Like nowadays, the modern academic system works so perfectly, and it goes by, and you may or may not learn anything, and nobody notices and nobody cares, because there's not the emphasis on what you can do with it. Right? So because there's that, then there's no real interest to learn, there's no inquiry. Therefore, the teacher can just go up, and instead of instilling it in you, he can just put up a list of books you have to read or other things you have to do as homework. So basically, the class is explaining the homework you're going to do. They don't actually teach. Right? Your parents have to do the teaching, because they're the ones you're going to ask, you know, the questions to. And of course, because it's new knowledge, I remember once Father was looking over my shoulder when I was studying something, I think in anthropology, Anthropology, archaeology, which is the one where you have, you know, Cro-Magnon and Homo erectus and all those. That's anthropology? Anthropology. So he looked over my shoulder and the Palinthian man was missing. And he said, you know, what happened to the Palinthian man? And I said, oh, well, that was actually a hoax, right? It says there, is that someone in England, I guess in their backyard, then took some bones and this and that and buried it. I guess they knew enough to actually make it look good. And so then for 20 years, then it was considered that it was one of the stages. Like that. And I think England, they were very happy because here you had something that was, you know, English, right? So therefore, England goes way back there. You know, it's not just, you know, how you say that Lucy in the, you know, there in Africa, right there in the Sky of Diamond or whatever it was, or the Diamond Coast or some place Lucy was, right?
Isn't it?
So, it's unfortunate you're the only one that gets So but then they found out it was different. So therefore, my father couldn't help me with what I was learning. Because after 20 years, it was completely different than what he had learned. You know, because generally any of these scientific things, they last for 10 years, and then it gets overturned. Generally 10 years, you see, is the generations. You know, now we're in, of what I last heard, that we're in post-modern. Right? So we're overburdened with these old liberal weirdo concepts of modernism, but they move beyond that to post-postmodernism. They want to give it a new name and actually throw out modernism because they want to use a whole new paradigm. But the point is that the student doesn't really want to learn because they don't want to use it. Therefore, they don't inquire, right? Does that make sense? So you'll see if someone is specialized, they're doing medicine, right, or they're doing law, or they're doing engineering, then it's something practical that generally they would have a tendency more to inquire. But if they just take a liberal arts degree, it's not necessarily that. What do you do with a liberal arts degree? Right? It doesn't do business. It doesn't manage or administrate. Right? It doesn't. You can teach someone else what you've learned. Right? I can perpetuate. You know, I am the professor, you know, of nursery rhymes that have absolutely no purpose, right? But I teach them the next generation, who then teaches them to the next generation, and who teaches them to the next generation, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the idea is to make a nice little something and sing a little something. Right? So in India, then they'll sing, you know, like a song of the Acharyas or something like that. Some little thing like that. Or something of, you know, one of the, you know, Kalidas or, you know, Bhasha or, you know, some great poet. You know, this has some sweetness. It rhymes nicely. It sounds nice. It's something sweet you can say to the children. Like that. But otherwise, you know, what is a pocket full of posies? Does anybody know what a pocket full of posies? I'm sure all of you have learned that, right? So a pocket full of posies are the particular kind of oozing open sores that come from having the bubonic plague. They call them posies, right? And then pocket full of posies, we all fall down. Ring around the roses, pocket full of posies, we all fall down. Because it developed that these people were dying from the bubonic plague. As soon as you got the open sores, you knew you were dead in a few days. So then they would just party straight until they died. So that's what you're singing to your child. So nice, so sweet. That these madmen that got a terminal disease, instead of sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna, they just ate, drank, you know, just womanized until they died. Such a nice, sweet song. especially for devotees to sing to their little children, and not only that, to teach it in our nice Krishna conscious school. Right? So, therefore, people don't even know what it is. That's what I'm saying. It's just handed down, well, who knows, right? We'll say, oh, it's fanatic that, you know, oh, why do you do this, right? The Indian girl, she does something. Oh, why do you do that? Oh, because my mother did. Oh, that's fanatic. But why are you singing this nursery rhyme to your kid? Well, because my parents did it. Oh, isn't that fanatic? It's the same logic. You understand? So this comes from, there's not a desire to learn because there's no service attitude. Right? Because if you're willing to serve, that's why the focus is on service and respect. If that's there, from service, automatically the desire to know will come. That's why when the student first comes to the school, the emphasis is on service. Because from service, you'll generate interest. And from interest, then you'll generate submissive inquiry. You only inquire submissively if you want to apply it. Right? If you don't want to apply it, you don't inquire. Right? Therefore, because of service, then there's shravana, you want to hear. Right? And because then you're willing to practice it, right, as seva, then there's, then there's manana, you contemplate. Right? To contemplate means you inquire. Right? So, submissive inquiry, right, pariprashna, is what you need to contemplate. Does that make sense? They go together. So, the working ingredient of shravanam, of hearing, is wanting to know. Otherwise, you don't want to know, you tune out, you don't listen. Right? Then, the working ingredient of manana is that you're interested in inquiry and you're willing to serve. So Bhagavad Gita is saying that this is what is knowledge, you know, knowledge. Panipata pariprashna sevaya, right? Because that translates into practically application is shravana and manana. And if that's properly performed, you'll get nididhyasana, you'll get realization. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that's why all this is there. You catch this, everything works. Because if you don't want to wash pots now, think about it. When you go home, right? You go home in the evening. Are there any pots in your house? Do those pots ever get dirty? Right? Do you ever have to wash them? Right? And now it's not that you actually have to wash them. You know, because you're small, so your mother's there, sisters are there, someone else is there, wash them. But when you get bigger, whose pots are they? They're your pots. It's your house, they're your pots. They have to be washed. Or you can say, oh, the ladies of the house will wash them. But then, can you get someone to do something that you yourself are unwilling to do? You understand? No. So therefore, why will the women of your house wash your pots? Because you don't want to wash them. So therefore, the pots won't get washed. You'll spend plenty of money going out to restaurants because you don't have to wash pots. Yes.
You'll get a maid servant.
Yes, but then you get a maid, yes, of course, but then you have to get the money to pay the maid servant. You're going to pay somewhere. And not only that, the maidservant will never make the pots as clean as what they should be. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay? Yes. Yeah.
So if the student isn't interested, what's the
obligation? If the student isn't interested,
what's the obligation to make them interested?
What's the obligation to make them interested? It means the endeavor is made. But the point is they have to catch. See, you have in teaching, you have two main schools. You have that of the monkey and that of the cat. So the monkey means that the baby monkey holds on to the mother. Mother, wherever it goes, will take the baby monkey. That's no question. But the baby has to hold on. Baby lets go, baby falls off. Right? So that's very, very formal. You know? like this. Then the cat means the cat just picks up the baby, and the baby does nothing. The kitten does nothing. Right? So, yeah, that's very informal. Right? But our process is that of the rope and the well. Someone's in the well, you throw them the rope. Right? So that's the point. They're in the well. They've gotten themselves there. They're reborn again in the material world. They're in ignorance. So they need to be educated. Right? So therefore, you throw them the rope. In other words, the teacher makes the first step. The senior always makes, is the aggressive one. You know? Does that make sense? The mother makes a step, that, the husband makes a step, everybody, whoever's in the senior position, they're the one that makes the first step. Right? It has its flavor what that first step means, depending on, but whatever it is. Then, it's the business of the person in the well to take the rope. If they don't take the rope, then what can you do? You know, you can try, you know, how you say, throwing them a rope with day glow on it and putting a blue light in there or something, you know, hey, whoa, check that out. You know, something, you know, put chocolate sauce on it, maybe they'll lick their way up the rope or something. You know what I'm saying? You find some way, you try to find some way to interest them in grabbing the rope, right? Or, you know, you put some, you know, how you say, you know, 5-second glue on it. So when you throw it and it hits them and they go to move it out of the way and then it's stuck on their arm and then you pull them out. But then that has more of the cat element to it, right? So, they, as long as they hold on, you're pulling. Because if they let go, why pull on the rope? So in other words, it's a combination of the cat and the monkey. That's what's recommended by our acharyas. But otherwise, the Vedic is always, you know, it's like the modern. You always have, do you put the knowledge in or do you draw it out? But if a bucket is empty, you can't get anything out of it. So you put something in that you can draw out, right? It means so much is in the heart naturally. Because if you draw it out, it means the knowledge is there. But unless you know what's there, how do you draw it out? Right? Kid goes into the kitchen. There's tons of ingredients there, but they wouldn't have a clue what cooking in is or what you do with them. So how you'll draw it out? So you point out, this is a pot, this is rice, dal, this is this, that, these are the ways you cook. Then you can draw from, okay, what will you cook today? How will you cook it? What spicing you'll use? What is your menu? Why did you choose that menu? Then you're drawing out. Because you're making them think. Oh, I was thinking to cook this, but now it's summertime. Would you consider that maybe too heavy? Yeah, so then what would be the alternative? Oh, I cook with this. Or I want to cook with this spicing, but now it's winter, wouldn't you want to use that? Well, you know, what would be something that now you can digest and rich things and stuff because it's cold, so therefore you'd use this spicing or that, or, you know what I'm saying? You've used more ghee, did you put enough pepper? You've used less ghee, did you put too much pepper? So in other words, you get them to think about what's actually going on, operating the field, so you can draw it out to the point where then you say, all you do is say, okay, you know, you arrange the menu for this week. They give it, you look at it, it's good. Right? So that's drawing these. Shravana means you put it in. Manana means you contemplate your drawing out. But still, there has to be desire on their part. So it's a combination. Is that you're always trying to find some way to get them interested, but you can only go forward if they become interested. So the duty of the student is to be interested because they serve. Right? That's why we emphasize serving so much. Right? In other words, know it that the degree, quality, and the degree to which you can wash your pots or clean the floor or wash your clothes or keep your locker clean is to that degree how much you can learn and go deep into your academics or anything. It's that connected. Right? One may raise the objection, no, but there's plenty of persons outside that are studying and becoming very expert. Right? But the point is can they use it? Right? I'm the world authority on, you know, ancient Egypt. What can I do with it? other than teach it to the next person who's going to then become the teacher to teach it to the next person. Right? I took Egyptology as an elective because I had to fill three spots, and I'd rather take that than do folk dancing. You understand? That's why they took it. That's all. It's not that, oh, I want to learn about Egypt. Who cares? You understand? Any of you say, no, but there's very intelligent people who are very good at things. And you look at them. The guys who become the doctors and the lawyers, do they dress like slobs? You know? They're very active. They're very work. You go into the, everything's pocket. Everything's lined up. Everything's organized. Because they're willing to serve. And it's direct connection between service and the ability to learn. So therefore, some persons who are uninformed in this area may think, why in the Vedic system do students do service? Because they could be learning so much more academics, right? But our point is you can learn more, but what's the use of learning more stuff that you're not going to use? In other words, do service, and what you learn, you'll be able to use. Right? Because when at the end of the day, it's what you can do that counts, not what you know. Does that make sense? Right? Even if you can't do something, it's the potential to be able to do. And that only comes by service. Because to do means to work. That's service. Right? Knowledge is to do something. So by doing something, then I want knowledge. They're connected. Right? I'm hungry. I want to eat. I'm not hungry. I don't eat. Right? There's a direct connection. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So now we're all fired up to do our service. Yeah? Yes? No? You understand scientifically why? It's not just arbitrary. This is a science. That's why, despite being harassed for the last 25 years about our schedules, we stick to them. Because we know this is what works. And those that don't stick to them don't get the same result. Does that make sense? That's why all that service is there. Right? But we try to balance it. You know, like you see, 4 days a week, mainly it's academics. And the other days, then service. Otherwise, mixing it becomes difficult. Does that make sense? Right, so you just focus on that, focus on this. Or winter is more academic, summer becomes more other things. Right? Just because of the nature of the seasons. Right? Because the verb is connected to time. Right? So time affects what can be accomplished. So therefore, summer you can accomplish less academics, more practical things. In winter, because of the nature of the season, you can accomplish more academics. And, it's cold outside. You don't want to go swimming or run around as much in that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you can just focus. It's cold. The mind works. Summer is hot. Mind doesn't. Brain doesn't work. I think the brain melts, maybe, or something. Sits down in the feet and stuff. Or something. Sloshes around. That's why the feet are heavy, you feel like sleeping. The brain has gone into the feet. Yeah? Okay? In other words, that's what the meaning of relationship, that both are making the endeavor to do their part in the relationship. So it's not all this or all that. You know? Yeah. And the best of Kuru Shantanu, knowing that region of indestructible bliss can be acquired by one's deeds alone, became devoted to virtue. When Shantanu grew up into a youth, Pratipa addressed him and said, "Some time ago, O Shantanu, a celestial damsel came to me for thy good. If thou meetest that fair complexioned one in secret, and if she solicit thee for children, accept her as thy wife. And O sinless one, judge not of the propriety or impropriety of her action, and ask not who she is, or who, or whose, or whence, but accept her as thy wife at my command." Right? In other words, don't get into who, what, why, anything like that. Right? So this is, in other words, just we'll glance this one. Ganga Devi officially got away with it. Vaishampayana continued, Pratipa, having thus commanded his son Shantanu and installed him on his throne, retired into the woods. You got that? A little bit more blunt. If you notice in discussions, they don't want to be, it doesn't want to be judged whether their act is proper or not, and they don't want you to know where it's come from, why it's going, or anything. It's just the moment. What's going on now, that's what's important. You catch that? Almost. Okay. Vaishampayana continued, Pratipa, having thus commanded his son Shantanu, installed him on his throne, retired into the woods. Right? You understand? Because that takes it out of the mood. Because it wears from his past. So if it's not that the verb is acting on, what is it? It means where's the origin? Ablative. Right? If it's coming from the ablative, then it's an ablative case. Ablative means what is the cause for doing an activity. Right? What's the origin? So if it's an ablative case, which unfortunately English is, doesn't have, it has, but they don't recognize it. It'll be a form of passive voice. Then the relationship will connect. Right? Does that make sense? But otherwise, if you're doing something else and you refer to that, it takes it out of the moment. And it's only in the moment that the relationship is happening. That's why the feminine nature avoids these things. It can only do that if that's a relationship. You're talking about the past. Then it can be. Or you're talking about the future. Or you can talk about if something's right or wrong. In other words, the relationship is there and that is the medium for that relationship. But if the relationship is something else and that's brought up, it takes it actually out of the relationship. So that would be a form of insensitivity of the moment. Right? In other words, the circumstances, the mood was wrong. Right? You're getting into a must when they're talking about a may. Right? You have can, must, and may. Right? So must is something you have to do. That's sankarshan. Right? That's a directive. Right? Can are options that you could do. They're interesting. It's this, that. We could do this. We could do that. May means it's a can that you want. Right? Then it becomes a may. Right? Then it's pujumna. So those are the moods of the verb. Right? Then there's vasudev. So it's vasudev based on establishing things, or it's vasudev on what could be done. It's vasudev on what you're trying to gain. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. More insanity here. Verbal application. Yeah? Okay? So that's the point, is the moment means you have to know which one of that, what is the mood of the verb. Because if you catch the wrong one, it's not that what you've said isn't correct. It's just not appropriate for the circumstance you're in. You know what I'm saying? It was correct in another circumstance, not correct in this circumstance. Does this make some sense? Any of you? Right. In other words, through grammar, like, you know, wonder why you gotta learn grammar. Through grammar, we're teaching you how you can actually deal with people. Right? You know? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. What section were we on?
97.
Ah, okay. And the king Santanu, imbued with great intelligence and equal unto Indra himself in splendor, became addicted to hunting and passed much of his time in the woods. Right? Now was addiction to hunting. Is that one of the qualities that a king should cultivate?
No.
Hunting, yes. Addiction to it, no. That's one of the ten. Yes?
Would there be a modern day equivalent for these
means? We do. In other words, performing an activity or acquiring things that are beyond the actual need. In other words, you can see the element is greed here. The hunting gives a particular taste, right? You know, with an attachment, an you know, like that. But you want more of that. That's why when it mentions the six enemies, it doesn't mention lust. It mentions greed. Because lust properly applied isn't really a problem. It's greed, that's what's beyond. Right? Right? Like ego, it can be, but fear, that means you're afraid of actually the relation, your position. That's a problem. Right? So fear is used instead of false ego. Right? Does that make sense? Because then fear is a problem like that, right? Then lust, when it can be engaged, and beyond that, when it's greed, that's the problem, right? So then the enemies come like that. Okay. So he's addicted to hunting. That means you're supposed to, the king has to go hunt because one, he has to keep up his skills, he has to keep his men also, how you say, you know, active and accomplished. And the forest will with time be overridden with, you know, dangerous animals that are going to bother the vanaprastas, sannyasis, brahmins that are living in the forest. Right? So therefore then they go out and do that. And the best of monarchs always slew deer and buffaloes. And one day as he was wandering along the bank of the Ganges, of course one may ask about deer, but deer is because they're fast, right? So point is, as a chariot warrior, you have to fight with another chariot that's moving very fast. So therefore deer become, and they move very, you know, they can go this way, jump into the air, and then bounce off another way, just the way they are. I don't know if you've ever seen it. The antelope, they'll be running, and if somebody's too close, they'll jump into the air and put the four legs in four directions. like that. That's when you know they're going to change direction. And depending on what's there, so when they come down, then they'll go off one way or the other. Before that, when they bounce like this, their feet are down, they're going to go in that direction. But as soon as they put their feet out, you don't know which way they're going. So then it, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but we used to have antelope here. You could watch them do that. Very interesting. And one day, as he was wandering along the bank of the Ganges, he came upon a region frequented by Siddhas and Charanas. And there he saw a lovely maiden of blazing beauty, and like unto Sri herself, of faultless and pearly teeth, and decked with celestial ornaments, and attired in garments of fine texture that resembled in splendor the filaments of the lotus. Right? They're very fine, soft, but there's a slight astringent feel to it. It's smooth, but it catches. It's very far out. You know, does that make sense? So satin is too smooth. You know, this is something just before this passage. And the monarch, on beholding that damsel, became surprised, and his raptures produced instant horripilation. What's horripilation? It means it was so horrible that he went, ooh, yuck, and ran off. Yeah? Horripilation means his hair stood on end. With steadfast gaze, he seemed to be drinking her charms, but repeated draughts failed to quench his thirst. Draughts is? You know, drinking, you know, serious, like that, a draught of, you know, means when you sit down on a hot day and you pick up your bowl full of lemon juice and drink that, that's a draught, right? It's not a sip, you know, it's a serious, you know, how you say, it's a dignified swill, let's say. The damsel also, beholding the monarch of blazing splendor, moving about in great agitation, was moved herself and experienced an affection for him. She gazed and gazed and longed to gaze on him evermore. The monarch then in soft words addressed her and said, O slender-waisted one, be thou a goddess or the daughter of a Danava, be thou the race of the Gandharvas or Apsaras, be thou of the Yakshas or the Nagas, or be thou of human origin. O thou of celestial beauty, I solicit thee to be my wife. Right? So he said, what are you from, but be my wife? So therefore then she can finesse the other part. You know, it could say, like you see, Yayati first goes, who are you? Right? Because he's not bewildered here. Because one is he just figures, you know, who is this? Until I know, then I can't. Here, this is beyond, right? This is meant to be. Why is it? This is what happened in the court of Brahma. He just was looking at her, and she noticed his looking and appreciated that he was looking. So therefore, then that's how they got cursed to meet like this. So it's going to be overwhelmed. But Yayati, Patipa, right? Same beautiful girl came up and sat on... Now, here he's just seeing her, right? Patipa, his father, she came and sat on his lap. And she proposed to him. And still he said, well, who are you, this, that? No. Yayati also, who are you, this, that, you know, and then, oh, you're a Brahmin? Okay, forget it. But here's because they already had that connection, therefore we see he's overwhelmed here. Yeah, completely. Like that. Very much appreciated, but overwhelmed. Section 98. Vaishampayana said, The maiden then, hearing these soft and sweet words of the smiling monarch, right? He didn't come up and say, ho, boo-boo, right? Soft and sweet. Okay. And remembering a promise to the Vasus, addressed the king in reply. Of faultless features, the damsel sending a thrill of pleasure into the heart by every word she uttered, said, so that means she carefully said each word. O king, I shall become thy wife and obey thy commands. But O monarch, thou must not interfere with me in anything I do, be it agreeable or disagreeable. That's what I said. everyone wants that, but only Ganga Devi actually, you know, said it and pulled the gyat away, you know, like that. But that's actually what everyone else wants. So that's why you catch the glimpses here. But you notice here is she didn't answer the question where she was from and all that. Because the father said, don't ask. But he didn't know that this was the girl, so he asked. But then he said, be my wife. So she just took that. Yes, I'll be your wife. You know, and finessed the rest of it. Like that. Does that make sense? Because these things are just... it takes it out of the mood. If it enhances the mood, it will be talked about. But if it doesn't, it's just left. Even for, but the man wants to know the field very clear. Then you know how to operate the field. So that's the point, is there has to be some indication. Otherwise, he doesn't... he can only... he means... activity means operation of the field. Right? And that means there has to be known what you're operating in the field. So unless some hint is given... but that means the man should also be interested in subtleties, or ability to subtleties, that he can catch what that hint might mean actually in the field. Does that make sense? So he has to be intelligent and be using it, because that's what he's supposed to be, is intelligent. But at the same time, is if she can give a little hint, it does make it a lot easier. Okay. Nor shall thou ever address me unkindly, right? So it was mentioned before that Shakuntala said, even in anger one doesn't displease. As long as thou shalt have behave kindly, I promise to live with thee. But I shall certainly leave thee the moment thou interferest with me or speakest to me an unkind word, right? What we should also know is that she is Ganga Devi, so she doesn't have to get to the heavenly planets, or have to, she is, so therefore if she leaves, then it works. Also, it still works for her. The king answered, be it so. And thereupon the damsel, obtaining that excellent monarch, that foremost one of the Bharata race for her husband, became highly pleased, right? She was interested. Now she's obtained him. And King Santanu also, obtaining her for his wife, enjoyed to the full the pleasure of her company. And in hearing to his promise, he refrained from asking her anything. And the Lord of the Earth, Santanu, became exceedingly gratified with her conduct, beauty, magnanimity, and attention to his comforts. Therefore, we can see here is that exceedingly gratified. One can say is he couldn't ask, you know, question what she did, right? Unless it was done very nicely in that. But the point is he was gratified by her interaction. In other words, it's an environment where you're dealing in just what's now. Because if I question it, means what's, where did it come from? It's a past. It takes it out of the present. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that he was actually displeased. Right? If he dealt with him this way, he was pleased. Right? And why would he be pleased? She behaved in a nice way, but why would she behave in a nice way? Because she was pleased. Yeah, that's the million. That's the million-dollar answer. There, right? You understand? So he dealt in the moment. She was pleased. Therefore, he was pleased. Does that make sense? But we see is that an endeavor is there on both parts. And the goddess Ganga also, of three courses, celestial, terrestrial, and subterranean, assuming a human form of superior complexion and endued with celestial beauty, lived happily as the wife of Santanu, having as the fruit of her virtuous acts obtained for her husband that tiger amongst kings, equal unto Indra himself in splendor. That's also very important. Having as the fruit of her virtuous acts. You're talking about Ganga Devi here. Right? Right, so because of her virtue, she's gotten Santanu, right, the emperor of the world, of this great family line and great virtue. So that means a girl only gets a good husband if she is good. Does that make sense? So a virtuous girl gets a virtuous husband. Right? Or let us even take it more generic. a girl who is properly behaved will get a husband that matches her nature. Does that make sense? It's direct. So therefore, Shantanu, he knew that I'll only get what I deserve if I endeavor for it. So therefore, he's virtuous. And because of that, then he has Ganga Devi. Because of her virtuous acts, she's gotten Shantanu. Right? Does that make sense?
What does it mean by equal in splendor?
Equal in splendor. Means between the two of them.
Yeah, between Indra and
Shantanu. Equal in splendor is because the energy that's there, the power that's there, like energy, like if you have a fire, the fire is bigger, is there more light? So the more the power, the more the brightness. That's why the Brahmins were very bright. Right? A Kshatriya is bright, but you know, he has a good physical strength and good looks and, you know, way they carry themselves and everything is very handsome. So they're very attractive. Plus they're powerful. But the Brahmins are more powerful. But even though they may not have the physical form, they're attractive because of the power like that. So therefore the splendor means it's just, it just radiates from them, that, that mood, the, their aura and everything is very good. Right? So that's actually what's important. You know what I'm saying? The physical is secondary. It's a good medium. If you have a good, symmetrical, flawless form, then the high energy generated from that is very attractive. Right? But otherwise, if it's not, it's generated through something of less perfection, it's still attractive because of the energy. So that's why one doesn't have to worry if one is physically attractive or not. One simply has to properly perform their duties and one will have the energy and mood that is attractive. Does that make sense? Right? And if you act properly, then you'll meet that person who has the equivalent nature. Right? Does that make sense? And she gratified the king by her attractiveness and affection, by her wiles and love, by her music and dance, and became her sense self gratified, right? By doing these things, and also she became happy. And the monarch was so enraptured with his beautiful wife that months, seasons, and years rolled on without being conscious of them, right? And rapture, what did we say, comes after what stage? Rupa Goswami says. You have attraction. Then you have attachment. Then? Consideration. Right? Then that gives confidence. And after confidence, if that's increased, then? Infatuation, enrapturement, this. In other words, they were so confident in the relationship because they were so considerate. You know, they were confident of the attachment to the other person because of their consideration that they were completely enamored. Right? You know what I'm saying? So here you see both sides are working. If even one side does it, it will make it nice. But if both sides, then it takes it into another realm. Does that make sense? And the king, while thus enjoying himself with his wife, had 8 children born unto him, who in beauty were like the very celestials themselves. But O Bharata, those children, one after another, as soon as they were born, were thrown into the river by Ganga, who said, "This is for thy good." And the child sank to rise no more. The king, however, could not be pleased with such conduct, but he spoke not a word about it, lest his wife should leave him. But when the 8th child was born, and when his wife, as before, was about to throw it smilingly into the river, right? Here you have this, your wife taking the newborn child with a smile, throwing it into the river, right? You know, they make psycho movies out of this stuff, right? And the king, with a sorrowful countenance and desirous of saving it from destruction, addressed her and said, "Kill it not. Who art thou and whose? Why dost thou kill thy own children? Murderest of thy sons, the load of thy sins is great." So right now in one statement he said everything she said not to say. One, you can't say it in a strong way. don't inquire about her past or who she is, and don't ask why she's doing it. You know, he could say, he could ask, you know, what are you doing, or what is the purpose of what you're doing, but he's judging what she's doing. You know, otherwise she might say, you know, but she doesn't. You know, because naturally it'll come out. He's a Kshatriya, how will not say? His wife thus addressed replied, O thou desirous of offspring, thou hast already become the first of those that have children. I shall not destroy this child of thine, but according to our agreement, the period of my stay with thee is at an end. I am Ganga, the daughter of Janu. I am ever worshipped by the great sages. I have lived with thee so long for accomplishing the purposes of the celestials. The eight illustrious Vasus, endued with great energy, had from Vishishta's curse, had to assume human forms. On earth, besides thee, there was none else to deserve the honor of being their begetter. There is no woman also on earth except one like me, a celestial of human form, to become their mother. I assumed a human form to bring them forth. Thou also, having become the father of the eight Vasus, hath acquired many regions of perennial bliss. It was also agreed between myself and the Vasus that I should free them from their human forms as soon as they would be born. I have thus freed them from the curse of the Rishi Apava. Blessed be thou, I leave thee, O king, but rear thou this child of rigid vows, that I should live with thee so long as the promise I gave to the Vasus, and let this child be called Gangadatta. Okay. So we'll end here tomorrow. Oh, Thursday, right? We have class on Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare